I look forward to Sundays. Amen. That's the day that we really reach out. You know, we should really reach out and touch God today, because, you know, maybe you're not here Wednesday night, but you can praise God today. Amen. We must praise Him. We must glorify Him. Amen. Because He's our strength. Amen. He's all that we have. Amen. Let's all praise God this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. God, we pray that You would touch each one out here before You today. God, we pray that You would give us a spirit of worship, Lord, that we might magnify You, Lord, and give You the glory, Lord, that You deserve. Here today in Jesus' name, God, we glorify You. Praise Your holy name. Let's give Him glory. Hallelujah. God, we praise Your holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we pour.
It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She would come to the house of the Lord every year. And this particular year, she was in anguish and she was crying. And she was even misunderstood when she was in the house of the Lord by the priest at that time. I'm here to tell somebody here today that God understands you when everybody else may misunderstand you. When you can't get the words out right. When your prayer just doesn't make sense to anybody else. It makes sense to God. God is here to hear your prayer. God is a God to receive your prayer. God is a God to respond to your prayer. You can walk out of this place differently today. She walked in sad and in anguish. She walked out not sad anymore after she walked out of the house of the Lord. We have an opportunity for this altar to be open. You don't have to wait for the end of the service to come. If you have a need to bring before the Lord, He is here. We have some needs we're going to bring before the Lord also for Brother Dave. Continue to remember Brother Dave, for Brother Sean Frederickson, and for Easton. Continue to believe that God is going to do a miracle in his life. For Brother Ray, he hasn't been here in the last couple of weeks, not feeling well. And for Sister Sue Ann. And if you have a need, by an uplifted hand, signify that God, He is here to meet that need. He is here to answer, to respond. I'm anticipating God to just to respond to our prayers. The ones that don't make sense, the ones that we can get out. Clearly the ones that just, I can't get out, Lord. Lord, just understand my cry and my prayer, Lord. And He's here to receive it. Let's continue to worship the Lord and to respond to what God is doing here today.
Can happen in this place. Jesus, it will happen. Amen. The recipe for a miracle is a need, faith, and Jesus. You mix those three things together and miracles happen. How many would say they have a need? Well, how many would say you have a need? There are needs here. How many would say you have faith that God is able to do that need? And then how many know that Jesus is here? Why don't we just thank Him for that? God, You're in this place. You're in this atmosphere where needs are presented. But greater than needs is our faith. We believe, God, we have faith that You're able to work, that You're able to move, that You can do whatever our needs are. You will meet us there. You are going to work. You are going to do the miraculous. With Jesus, it can happen. Not with a doctor, God, not with myself, not with my ability, but with Jesus, it can happen. Amen. Amen. I am thankful. I'm thankful for what I feel. I am thankful that He is here. But I'm also thankful that You are here. I'm thankful that You came in spite of your needs, in spite of the reasons why you shouldn't be here. You came here to this place, and I believe God will honor that today. A few announcements for the week. We will have prayer tonight at 6 p.m. This Wednesday night, we will be having our annual church business meeting here at the church. We'll be going over the details of 2019's financial year. So if you have any questions, if you're curious, you are all invited to that. We will be discussing that further. It will begin at 7 p.m. As our regular Wednesday night will do. So that'll be this coming Wednesday night. Saturday, March 7th, we will be having our installation service here at the church at 5 p.m. That guy in the back in the plaid shirt, he's not here to steal things. He's not here, to mess with things. This is Matt Novak. Everybody give Matt a round of applause. Matt's a good friend of mine. He is from Calvary and does the sound there. So he's there as kind of prepping for the choir. Calvary Choir is coming to sing that night. He's trying to make sure we have what we need for them. He's just trying to help us out. So he's not a stranger. He's a friend, so make sure you tell him hi. But that will be Saturday night. We will have that installation service, and we're looking forward to it. We're inviting all of you to come. Bring family. It is a church-wide celebration. It is not our celebration. It is FAC's installation, and so we want you to be a part of that. Before we move forward, we do have a special youth announcement from Brother Spencer in regards to our Penny War offering.
So Wednesday will be the last day for the Penny Wars. Right now, the ladies have taken the lead.
Yes! Woo! Yeah! Come on, girls!
Only by $40.
That's
so
nothing.
It's still possible.
Josh, how much do you make in a week? Just put that in.
So next Sunday we'll announce the winner, but Wednesday is the last day to turn any money into the buckets in the back.
So, men, ladies, talk amongst yourselves. Men, if you have any extra change, if you have more than change, at least $40 worth, if you have stuff you could sell, Spencer will hawk it for you. So we'll just get old baseball cards, car parts, whatever, mufflers. We'll take it all, whatever it takes. It's going to a good cause, and that's to putting a pie in my wife's face. So we invite you to participate in that. In my face, maybe. But we're gonna take just a moment, get outside of the aisle, shake someone's hand. We're going to spend some time in fellowship as we get ready for today's tithe and offering. So shake someone's hand, greet somebody. Thank you. you're making your way back to your seats. Also want to say it's so good to see Sister Doris today. I know she's in the nursery right now, but let's just go ahead and give her a hand clap. Sister Doris, it's great to see you. Well, speaker's not on. They don't want to hear me. But if you see Sister Doris after church, make sure you tell her it's so nice to see her. We love Sister Doris. So glad that she's here. As our ushers would get ready for today's tithe and offering, we're going to put the declaration on the screen. And we are going to say this together. It says, upon the authority of your word, I have given, and it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interests and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. Give unto the Lord.
You are great, you do miracles.
Amen. There is nobody else like him. There's no one that can love you. There's no one that can care for you. No one that can forgive you. Nobody like our God. Amen. 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 Let's turn our attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. I'll only be reading one verse today. Chapter 24 and verse 16. The scripture says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." A just man falls seven times, but he gets back up again, and the wicked fall into mischief. My purpose is today is going to be very straightforward. Not going to be any smoke and mirrors, not going to be some big reveal at the end. My purpose is to encourage you that although you might have fallen, although you might have made a mistake, God is ready for you to get back up. God is ready for you to keep going, to keep fighting, to keep pressing on. I want to speak tonight with the help of the Lord. Your fall isn't final. Why don't we just lift up our hands and let's ask God to just move. He's already in this place. Come on. God, we need you right now. Now we want you to move right now in this service, in this atmosphere, in this place. God, we pray. Lord, we're pressing forward. God, help us to fight. God, help us to get up. God, we've fallen. We've tripped. But we are getting up. And you're calling us to more. You're calling us to a new depth. You're calling us to a new level. God, we need you right now. Touch our service, anoint our minds, help us to hear from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, Your fall isn't final. You may be seated. Although I'm sure that when you look at me, you wouldn't get this at first guess, but I'm quite a pugilist aficionado. I'm into boxing. But a typical boxing match, just to give you some background on boxing, a typical boxing match, a boxing match in the current era would last 10 to 12 rounds, depending on the bout, and having three-minute rounds. During that fight, you could be knocked down as many times as the other person would like, not really that you would like. As long as you get back up, you can continue to fight. Once you are knocked down, the ref will give you 10 seconds. He'll do a 10 count. And if you can't get back to your feet in 10 seconds, he calls the fight. He sends the other boxer to the other corner. He can't mess with you. It is up to you and you alone to get back up. So if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're defeated, or if you're just plain unconscious, you don't typically get up from that. But it's only when you refuse to get back up is the match over. There was a boxer around the turn of the 20th century named Joe Jeanette. He was a heavyweight, and he was arguably the best African-American heavyweight boxer at the time. The reason I even say that is just because at that time, they didn't really box too often African-American versus whites. And so he didn't get a chance to fight a white person. So for the people that he fought, he was arguably pound for pound the best boxer at the time. He won almost all of his fights by knockout in the first or second round. But it was on April 17th, 1909, that he would fight a particular fight that would become truly legendary. He was faced up against another boxer named Sam McVay, who was arguably the greatest white boxer at the time. He was from France, and they began this battle on April 17th that would last 3.5 hours and be 49 rounds of boxing. At that time, they wouldn't call it and send it to the judges. It was either you get knocked out and give up, or you just keep going. I don't know, potentially till death, I guess, if they just continued to fight. But when this fight began, McVay looked like he was going to be the sure winner. He knocked down Jeanette 27 times. He almost knocked him out in the 16th round, but he slowly got up before the 10 count. Jeanette, it took him until the 34th round before it finally looked like the tides were turning. Jeanette knocked McVeigh down 19 times. And finally, after the 49th round, after every round, they send each boxer to the corner. They have 1 minute of rest. They get water, they get a coaching, whatever. At the 49th round, McVeigh was unable to stand up from his stool. And so the referee finally called the match, giving the victory to Joe Jeanette. He was knocked down 27 times. That 49 rounds lasting 3.5 hours. And each time, as he lay on the mat, broken, beaten, and bruised, he could have easily made the choice to stay down. In fact, it would have been a lot easier to just stay down. Like, 5 times is enough. Like, 20 times is enough. 27 times, not a single person would have looked at him and said, "You're a coward. You only get up 25 times? Come on." And no one would have scoffed at him. Everything that these two men had done was superhuman at best. But he refused to stay down. He refused to throw in the towel. He refused to say that he was done. The difference between fallen and failure is the slimmest of margins. It's the narrowest line between just fallen and failure. Fallen is not permanent. It's temporary. You get back up from fallen. Failure is when you're knocked down and you say, "I quit." Failure is when you're knocked down and say, "I'm done." Failure is when you say, I can't do it anymore. I'm just done. I quit. But fallen says, "I can get back up." Every time we trip up, every time you fall in your walk with the Lord, every time you make a mistake, we are towing that very narrow line between fallen and failure. But the difference between fallen and failure is, how do you respond? Do you respond that I'm defeated, it's over, I can't win, I can't make it any longer? Or do you respond, "I made a mistake, but God's still there. I made a mistake, but I'm getting back up. I made a mistake, but God still has a plan. God still knows what He's doing in my life." How do you respond in that moment? You have a choice every single time. Though you be hurting, though you be embarrassed, though you be shameful, though you feel like people are watching you, people are hoping you fail, people are expecting you to fail, how will you respond? Will you get back up? The scripture that we read, "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked falleth into mischief." It's important to note how it describes the man that falleth. It says that he is a just man. It does not say that he is a weak man. It does not say that he is a bad man. It does not say the evil man falleth, the wicked man falleth, the unloved man falleth. It says that he is a just man. Some of the other translations that I read say that the holy man falleth. Some said the good man falleth. One even said the godly man falleth. It doesn't say the evil person. So God doesn't call you evil or wicked because you've fallen. God doesn't separate you. God doesn't call you unloved because you're fallen. God's still calling you a good man. God's still calling you a whole man. God still has not given up on you after you've fallen. God still hasn't turned His back on you and said, "He's done, she's done, I can't do anything with them." God does not do that. So you cannot give up on yourself. You can't say, "God doesn't love me anymore, I can't do this, I give up." No, God still loves you. And if you will get back up, He will be there waiting for you. He will be there with grace, with love, with forgiveness. God isn't dropping you. He's not leaving you alone. Your fall isn't final if you choose to get up and move forward. You are not the first person that has ever fallen. Good news, you're in really good company if you've fallen. Welcome. Make yourself at home. You belong here if you've fallen. God is very aware that he was the only perfect person. He knows that. We know that. Do you know that about yourself? God isn't asking you to be perfect. He does not expect you to have it all together. You are not the worst person in the world for tripping up. Satan would love nothing more than to separate you. He would love nothing more than when you do trip to just come along beside you and say, ooh, you've tripped on that one before. You've made that. Remember, it was July 2006. You did this. Remember September 2009? That was a really bad one. That looked just like this. And he tries to lay guilt. He wants to lay condemnation. He wants to just surround you with all of your past trip-ups, all of your past falls, and he wants you to believe that this is the fall that will end it all. This is the fall where you throw in the towel. He wants to lay as much guilt and shame as he can upon you and point out how imperfect only you must be. No one else is imperfect. No one else has made a mistake. You are the one that should be guilty. But Romans 8 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you have been buried in his name, if you call yourself his own, if you love him, if you seek him, then you are a child of the King, and you are a just man who has fallen, but you will get back up again. You are not down. You are not defeated. Get back up. Arise again. Arise again. That condemnation, that guilt is not of God. God is not bringing that upon you. The enemy is bringing that upon you. So when that comes, you turn to him. You point out that scripture. You get Romans 8:1 on the screen of your mind and say, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Devil, that condemnation is not of him. That's not of you. That's not of Jesus. God, you've got a plan. Amen. 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 If you are in Christ Jesus, then you are a child. You're a just man. You've been punched in the gut. I get it. You've had the wind knocked out of you. I get it. Thankfully, I haven't had the wind knocked out of me since I was a kid. But talk about the scariest moment in your life. I mean, it doesn't get scarier than the wind knocked out of you. But you've had that happen to you. Take your breath. Take a moment, but get back up. Don't stay down. Your fall is not final. You are not defined by how many times you fall. You are defined about how many times you get back up. If you fall down 100 times, you get up 101 times. If you slip up 2,000 times, you get up 2,001 times. You are not a faller. You are a riser. That is not who you are. That is not written on your epitaph. That is not that she was a faller. He was a faller. No, he was a riser. He was knocked down, but he got back up. She fell, but she got back up. She held on to what God has for her. You are not weak. You're not overwhelmed. You have God's strength who is made perfect in your weakness. You get back up. Get on your feet. Our text in the King James says, if he falleth, he riseth. And we know that anytime you see eth in the scripture at the end of a word, it shows that it's not a singular event. It is not he fall once, he rise once. It is a continual event. So the scripture is telling us that a just man continues to fall. It doesn't say fall and stops. Fall it. He continues to fall as a just man. But it also says that he riseth as a just man. He continues to get back up. He continues to rise up. He may fall, but he will rise. You know, you might fall today, but get back up today. Tomorrow you might trip up, but tomorrow you get back up. You might trip on Thursday, but get back up on Thursday. You make up in your mind every single day, I will rise. I will get back up regardless of what happens, regardless of the fall. I will rise. See, we got to have a getting up mindset, a mindset that it just goes with the territory. We just trip and we just get back up. We fall and we just keep walking. We don't stop. And if you are a child of God, if you are a part of the body of Christ, not only do we need a getting up mindset, we need a mindset that says whenever we see a brother and a sister that has stumbled, we come along beside them and we pick them up. We are a getting up church. We aren't a leave behind church. We're a carry with us church, where if she's struggling, I got her. If I'm struggling, she's got me. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. We're not a gossiping church. We're a getting up church. We're not sharing what your struggles are. We're sharing in the belief that God has got you, that God's got a plan, that God's going to bring you through, regardless of how bad it is, regardless of how bad your fall is. God is going to pick you up. God is going to carry you. It is a getting up mentality, a mentality that says, I refuse to stay down. I refuse to stay beaten. I refuse to stay bound. I am going to get back up on my feet, and I am going to walk with Jesus. I've got a plan. God's got a plan. He's going to carry me through this trial. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. We are a got your back church. We are a get back up church. So we got to get rid of the notion that if we're here today, that it just doesn't mean if I'm sitting here, no one in this place has any temptations, struggles, and trials. Everyone else, Sister Pat has it all put together. Look at her glasses, her red cardigan. You know, she could never have anything. Brother Ryan's got his nice pen. He could never have anything going wrong. Tom and Andrew are happily newlyweds. Everything's roses. And I'm not trying to point them out like anything isn't bad. I'm just using them as example because they trust me, I hope. But we can't have a mindset that because someone has a suit and tie on, they have it all together. And the enemy would love nothing more than to tell us that. That if I fall, I'm the only person that has ever fallen, which is a lie. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. If you are righteous, expect afflictions. If you are not experiencing afflictions, you might want to check yourself. If everything's going rosy, then the enemy has no reason to attack you, and that's not the best place that I want to be. I welcome the afflictions because I know when the afflictions come, the scripture continues to say, the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord will deliver. The Lord will continue to deliver. Delivereth out of them all. But in reality, because you're sitting in this room, because you're here, you can have peace and you can know that when those afflictions come, the Lord God Almighty is there to deliver you. He is not surprised by your afflictions. He is ready to deliver you out of those afflictions. Trust God. Have assurance that every time you fall down, you will not stay down because God is there to pick you right back up. God is there to help you. God is there to lift you. Just because you're on the ground does not mean you're alone. Psalms 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God's got you. You fall, get back up. God, the scripture, just imagine. I mean, God is reaching his hand down to pick you up. Our God, the creator of everything, He created everything. I've discussed it before. But he turns to little old me who has tripped on the same thing. I mean, you ever have one of those things where you just always trip on a coffee table, a child's toy, probably my shoes, my wife would say. You just always trip over the same thing. And you'd think that God would be angry at you. But God says, no, I got you in my hand. I'm holding you in my hand. Your fall is not final. Your fall is not final. Look at who fell in the Bible. If you've fallen, you're in really good company. David fell with Bathsheba. Moses fell with his anger. Elijah fell when he fled in fear from Ahab and Jezebel. Peter fell in his denial of Christ. Paul fell when he persecuted Christians. But yet, in spite of their falls, God still used them. In spite of their mistakes, they still got up, they dusted themselves, and they said, God, what do you need me to do? I'll do it. And you know what? God used them.
God used them. Your fall does not separate you from the body of Christ. It does not separate you from being unused, or does not make you unusable in the kingdom of God. It does not isolate you. That is a lie from hell. You make a mistake, get back up. God's got a plan that he needs you to be on your feet for. He needs to use you. God has to use you to reach your world. God wants to use you to reach your world. But if you're laying down, God can't use you. Get back up. Get back up so he can use you. Keep pressing toward the mark. Keep striving. Where we're headed is so much better than where we came from. Where God has us, and I'm not saying us as a church. I'm not saying that. I'm saying where we as a person, what God's plan is for us as each individual is so much better than what we've been in the past. His plan, his perfect will is just so much better. You just got to get up and just keep walking towards it. Keep marching towards it until we get there. You know, I couldn't really preach a sermon about walking and getting back up without referring to my daughter. I mean, she's at this phase of life. I wasn't thinking of her whenever I started on this, but as I was working on it, you know, my wife and I watch my daughter walk. Most of you have seen her, you know, take, you know, she's got, and she, you know, is the most excited little girl she's ever been. And my wife and I will sit in the basement, you know, sit on the ground, legs wide, and we'll go 10 feet back and forth. And she just wants to walk and gets so excited. And of course, we as parents are so excited for that. But I'll tell you, almost every single time, I mean, if we're close enough, she can get back and forth to us, but almost all of her walks end in a fall. She doesn't know how to walk yet. Almost every single one ends up with her on her bottom or on her knees, or last night one, she hit her head, and, you know, so you just pick her back up. But that's how it is. But my wife and I, when she trips and falls, we don't scold her for that. We don't say, Paris, how again you fell? How many times do we have to do this? It's a 10-foot walk. Just walk, daughter. You know, I'm not grabbing my belt and getting ready to just show her, ooh, you know, that's not how it works, because she's our child and we love her and we are so excited that she's trying to walk. She wants to walk to mom and dad. And so when she falls, we don't scold. We turn to her and we pick her up. And we, oh, you're okay. Oh, that was a good job. And we put her back on her feet and point her in the other direction and have her keep walking. And she falls again and we reach and we pick her back up because we love her and she's our child. Jesus loves you. Jesus isn't mad at you. Jesus isn't taking off his proverbial belt to spank you when you fall. Jesus is there to come alongside you and say, oh, that was, you did really good on that one. You went 10 steps. You went 10 days. Now let's go 12 days. Let's go. Come on, you can get this. You can grow. You can grow. You can grow. That's how he wants his relationship to be. He's not mad at you for falling. He wants you to just keep trying. Go further next time. Just if you fall like our daughter, it's the sweetest thing. And I don't know if this is how God sees us, but man, it's so sweet. When she'll get to that point, and every parent can say they know this, or every uncle or aunt, everybody that's had a daughter or a child fall into their arms, she'll get to the point, and she won't walk all the way into our arms. She'll get to be about a foot out and stop and just lean. And that is just, oh, just melts you. You know, she just, and then she puts her arm around you and she's so happy, and oh, you just could just sit there all day enjoying that. And I'm painting the picture with God, but I just imagine that's how God wants our relationship with him to be. Just fall into his arms. Don't bypass him. The other night, my daughter, we were going back and forth, and my daughter got distracted because there was dolls right behind my wife and bypassed my wife. And my wife's like, why would you do that? You know what? And don't bypass God because you see something else behind. Just get so close that, God, I'm trying. I'm doing the best that I can. And just fall into his arms. He will love you. He will offer grace. He will offer forgiveness. He will offer whatever you need him to do. God does that because he loves you. Keep your eyes directly fixated upon Jesus. Ignore the distractions. Ignore the dolls. Ignore the snacks. Ignore the things in life that would try and tempt us and sway us. And look at Jesus. He's reaching out to you. He's offering grace. He's offering hope. Romans 3, verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But the scripture says it's to upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. One translation says neither Jew or Gentile, anybody. There is no difference. If you believe, if you're seeking God, that there is a sanctification, a justification for you by the grace of God. There is a salvation for you by the grace of God. None of us, no falls could separate us. No single fall. You could have fallen off a cliff. You could fall into the Grand Canyon. And there's no fall that would separate us from God, from God's grace. We could stand as we close. Micah 7 and 8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. We know the scripture, we know it, but when I fall, I shall arise. The enemy can try and rejoice, but the enemy doesn't know that I plan on getting back up. I don't plan on staying down. I don't plan on being overwhelmed. I got a getting back up mentality. I shall arise. Arise because you have a promise. God is going to finish what he started. God is not done. Philippians 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has started a good work in you, and he is not going to let it end just because you've fallen. God still has a good work that he intends to do in your life. Your fall does not separate you from the good work that God has. Be confident of this, that you are in the presence of the author of your life. He hasn't quit. He hasn't stopped. So you don't quit. You don't stop. You don't give up. Your fall is not final. Keep getting up. Keep brushing the dirt off. Keep picking yourself up, because God is there waiting and desiring to perform a good work in your life. Hebrews 12:2, a portion of the scripture we know, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I reference this scripture often because I need it. I need to remind myself that he is not only the author, he is the finisher. He does not have a ghostwriter at all. He is watching me from the very beginning to the very end of my life. And that means that I don't even have a say on how my life ends up. I don't get to tell God how it ends. I trust what he's writing. I don't get to fall down and say it's finished. I'm done. Nor does the enemy get the opportunity to say, you're finished, you're done. The enemy doesn't have power. The enemy can't say you've fallen down too many times, you can't get back up. Jesus still has the final say. It would be as if I fell down and Levi came and stood on me. He put his foot firmly on my back. And little sweet Levi said, you're not getting up. I'm talking about you, bud. Sorry. It's all good, though. But it would be as if little Levi put his foot on my back and said, you can't get up. You can't get up. Hey, whatever you do to try and get up, you can't get up. There's nothing you can do. I'm going to hold you here. Levi's a sweet boy. Of course, he would never do that. But not being overconfident in my own strength, but I do feel as if I could get up from Levi's strong grip. Just as easily, if not easier, could we get back up when the enemy tells you, you've fallen, you stay there, you can't get back up, you are defeated. He has even less power than Levi when God steps in. When the scripture says the Lord delivereth them all, or it says God upholdeth them in his hand, we hold on to that. We hold on that God has a plan. God has power over the enemy. When he says you're down, you're not down. When he says you're defeated, you're not defeated. That's not how it works. God has grace for you today. God still has the final say. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. So when you fall, if it takes you, there's 10 seconds in a boxing match. If it's a bad fall and it takes you 7 seconds to get back up, you take your 7 seconds. You gather yourself. You take a breath. You think about how you tripped up, how you fell, what you did wrong, and you say, I'm not going to do that again. You push up off the ground. You get back up and say, I'm still in this fight. I'm still walking. I'm still moving forward. I might fall 7 times, but I will arise. I have to arise. I have to arise. There's no shame in falling. There's no guilt in falling. There's grace for your fall. Get back on your feet and praise God. Your falling doesn't define you. Your resiliency defines you. That's what defines you today. So as we come to a close in this service, I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, I want to speak to you that God sees exactly where you're at. Maybe you haven't fallen in years, but maybe there's something that you're going to trip up tomorrow. And don't let your tomorrow trip, I'm not trying to say go ahead and do that, but don't let what happens tomorrow all of a sudden wreck you. And you say, but what have I done? I'm so far from God. No, you made a mistake. Now get back up. Keep following after God. Keep seeking God. God's still trying to do something in your life. As we close, why don't we just all lift up our hands right now? Come on, why don't we just say, God, I may have fallen, but God, I am getting back up. Why don't you have a getting back up mindset right now that I'm not down, I'm not defeated, I am not destroyed, I'm persecuted on every side, I'm cast down but not destroyed. That though the enemy may be surrounding me, I am not defeated. God will deliver me, God will hold me, God will keep me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to open up the altar if you'd like to come right now. I'm not saying you have an issue. I'm not saying you've fallen. I'm inviting everybody to come and just find a place to just get back up. Maybe you haven't fallen, but just get strength for tomorrow to keep you from that fall. I don't know what you struggled with. I don't know what you faced, but we need a getting back up mindset that says I'm not defeated. Come on, I'm not down. Come on, I'm getting back up. I am beaten. I am bloody, I am bruised, but I am getting back up. I'm taking another step. I am walking. I am seeking after God's unchanging hand. I am falling into his arms this morning. I am reaching for God. Won't you just reach for God right now? Right wherever you're at, begin to pray. Begin to call upon the Lord and reach for him. He is not far from you. He is extending his hand to you. He is reaching down to touch you, to minister to you, to work in your behalf. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to call upon the Lord. Begin to seek him with all that you have. Take a moment and just say, God, I'm getting back up. God, I am healed today. God, I'm restored today. God, the enemy would love nothing more than to bury me, but I'm restored today.
Yeah.
we sing this to him right now. We love you. What a blessing it is to be able to come together, be able to worship him, be able to glorify him, and just feel the sweet presence of God in this place. It is good to be loved. It is good to love him. God loves you so much. More than a child or more than a parent loves a child, God loves you. More than you love your children, more than you love your dog, more than you love anything that you could possibly love, God loves you. I am thankful that he loves us. I am thankful that he picks us up. I am thankful that he carries us when we fall. Your fall is not final this morning. Get back up on your feet. Be encouraged. Another week's coming. Be encouraged. More trials are coming. Be encouraged. You don't have to die there. You get back up. You keep fighting. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. One more time, let's just pray as we end this service. God, we thank you, Lord, for what we felt today. God, you are in this place. God, you reached, you touched. I pray, God, encourage us as we leave here. God, speak to us. Lord, help us, Jesus, to walk, to continue to pick ourselves up. It may be short steps. God, it may be minor steps, God, but let us just continue to walk forward in the direction that you are taking us, and we will give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless today. Make sure you...